Great job, ladies. Praise the Lord. What a great song that is. Hold on, got to turn things on. Maybe a month ago, we had our Mother's Day thing. That's a pretty mask, brother. You got to show it off. I understand. Yeah, I'll try and keep it looking. About a month ago, we had our Mother's Day activity here, and if you remember, it was snowing. Remember that? That was a blessing. And we got a lot of pictures done, and if you haven't still got your pictures, we have them. Just got to grab them. But we also had a competition, and who could throw the ball the farthest from their car, all of that. And Mr. Ray Warner won, so we have a gift card for him, and just a little, you can go to Cheesecake Factory or Red Lobster or some other places and get something. Takeout only, but there you are with that. So praise the Lord. Appreciate everyone participating that day, and I do apologize for, I've had it for a while and just, just haven't gotten it out. Many of you that went to, are we good here? We good? All right. Many of you went to Trinidad. Brad and his wife had their fourth child, right? T? Fourth? Olivia this past week. So little Olivia was born last week. So we are thankful for that and praise the Lord for them. Psalm chapter 119 this morning. Psalm 119. Imagine where we'd be without the cross. So I don't want to imagine. All right, well, it's not then. But I'm thankful for the cross. When it's all said and done, and we're standing by the before the throne, and I don't know how it's going to go. I mean, we have some indication from the scriptures, but I have no, in myself, no righteousness. All my righteousness is as filthy rags. So when he says, why do you get to be here? I simply say, by the redemption of your Son. Praise the Lord for his righteousness and all that that cross holds. Those are special songs because we think about our salvation and we are, to say eternally grateful is an understatement. So praise the Lord. All right, that has nothing to do with our message. I mean, well, I guess it does, but Psalm 119, I hope you found it by now, verse 165. Can I say I love to hear the pages turn? So long I've been talking to a camera, and it is nice. I talked to someone last week, and I said, man, it was a blessing being in church, and they responded, I appreciate honesty. Pastor, you preach a lot better when there's a crowd instead of in front of a camera. I took it as a compliment. I didn't know how to take it. Psalm 119 and verse 165 says, great peace have they which love thy law. And the Bible says, and nothing shall offend them. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for today. Thank you for your word. As we read your word, about your word today, I pray that we make personal and practical application of it. And we're thankful for it. Thank you that you've preserved it for us. Thankful that we can open it up knowing that there are no errors and no contradictions from cover to cover. It's all perfect and all pure. Thank you, Lord. Lord, I pray that Lord, I believe with all my heart we could always do more concerning your word in our life personally. And Lord, help us to see the need for that. And Lord, help us to change in our life that we'd have a deeper commitment to your word today. And I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. No matter where we go, we are responsible for carrying the light of Christ. Say, sometimes that's difficult. I understand that's difficult.
But one way it helps is to have your Bible handy, gospel tracts. I was talking to someone this past week, and they were really concerned about their neighbor's soul and really tried to encourage them, hey, before you have a conversation, maybe you give them a gospel tract that can kind of break the ice of that a little bit. Let them read the gospel, and then you can follow up with that. The Word of God is powerful. Have you experienced the power of the Word of God in your life? Absolutely, right? But the Bible says, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. We live in a society that is greatly and easily offended. You go online and you say, I don't like Chick-fil-A chicken sandwich. Man, people question your salvation. You've offended me. I only drive Fords. Well, you just offended all the Chevy people. And the Toyota people are in a whole class of themselves. What about the Word of God? What about things that are important, though? The Bible says, great peace have them, have they which love thy law. To which we have to ask ourselves the question, do we really love the Word of God? Is there a relationship between me and the words of this page, of these pages? The God of the Bible. Is there a connection between the two of us? Or is it just something that sits on my nightstand? Something that I have even maybe plastered on the walls of my house? We are Bible believers first and foremost. But we have to ask the question, are we Bible practicers? If you showed me a verse in the Bible, if I opened it up and said, here's what it says, we would emphatically 100% say, I believe it. If it's in this book, I believe it. But do we practice it? Do we practice it in our daily life? How important is the Bible to your everyday living? Let me ask that question again. How important is the Bible to your everyday living? 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 15, I'll read you two verses. It says, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. God says, I desire that you be holy. You say, how on earth can I be holy? By giving attention to this book. By allowing the Bible to change you from the inside out. Everybody, close your Bible for a second. All 25% of you. If you didn't see the news, we're allowed to have church with 25% of our capacity, which is a blessing. We've measured, and our addition to our property is over 10,000 square feet. So we are wonderfully within guidelines. So praise the Lord. So as you close your Bible, say, why'd you have me close your Bible? I want you to look at the binding. Mine says Holy Bible. Holy Bible. I don't know, maybe you have something similar there. Maybe yours is worn away, you can't even see it. That's a good problem to have. But the Holy Bible is able to make a person more holy. Say, how? I'm not here to... if you see, examine my life is not holy. Maybe you struggle with that. Can I encourage you to not be satisfied with that, but allow the Word of God to have a deeper grasp upon your life? A holy Bible is the greatest aid in fulfilling, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. For without this book, I know nothing of Christ. We just sang about the cross. What good is the cross? Well, the Bible tells me what good the cross is. And the Bible helps me with holy living. It is our key to holy living. I cannot fulfill 1 Peter 1:15 without the Scriptures. And I am only as holy as I want to be, as I allow the Scriptures to have how much of a role in my life. Pastor, I struggle with faith, and, and righteousness and godliness. Then give more attention to the Bible and less attention on yourself. What role does the Bible play in your everyday living? I have 5 points this morning. I was reviewing them with Sam as we were greeting this morning. And he asked this question. He said, how long do you expect us to be here? I said, well, it might be a little longer. Maddie, you want to look at the camera? I think it went into sleep mode. Is that true, Ed? Yeah. All right. She's going to check it out. Are we good? All right. While they do that, Psalm 119. We got things to work out. We're all right. We're good. Psalm 119. Holy Bible in your everyday life. Five points this morning. If you're taking notes, just write these things down. It'll hopefully be easy to remember, and hopefully be easy to follow. Psalm 119 in verse 11, it says, "Thy word have I hidden mine heart, that I might not sin against thee." Let's remember, Psalm 119 is an excellent chapter of the Scriptures to study about the Scriptures. Psalm 119 in all 170, I think it's 176 verses. 176 verses greatly discuss in every, just about every verse, the Word. And the Holy Bible in our daily living, number one, has got to be in our hearts. Thy Word have I hid in my heart. That doesn't happen by accident. That doesn't happen by chance. That happens deliberately. The Word of God does not get inside our hearts by pure coincidence. No, the Word of God is put there because we place it there. But look at the benefit of it, that I might not sin against thee. Against who? Against God Himself. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. See, we have this connection again back to holiness. As the Word of God has a deeper role in my life, as important as I make it in my life, what happens? That I might not sin against thee. How is that possible? How, just reading this Bible, helps me not sin? Because it gives me an awareness of a couple things. Number one, it gives me awareness of who I am. Let me help us with this. We are not as righteous as we might portray. And the Word of God has a great way of revealing to us our areas that we have got to improve on, that we have got to get right. And we become, as Christians sometimes, quite content with being, well, unholy. It's because we're not in our Bibles like we should. Because number one, God reveals to us about ourselves. But number two, God speaks to us about Himself. If we're not careful, we can make God just like you and me. Oh, he's just like me, just a little bit better. No, that's not God at all. For His ways are not our ways. And the more I study it, and the more I read it, and I have an awareness of God and what pleases Him and who I am and myself, you know what? I am more conscious and aware of my sin. As I'm in the Scriptures, it reveals to me my sin. Psalm 40 in verse 8 says this, "I delight to do thy will, O God, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart." Isn't it a blessing? I'm not sure if you've ever gone to the doctors or something like that, and you're sitting there talking to the doctor and you ask a question. A couple years ago, I was talking to my doctor and had a question about something. And he said, you know, I don't know. I don't like when I ask a doctor a medical question and he says, I don't know. And he said, but hold on a second. He turns around and he takes a book off a shelf and he opens it up and he says, oh, here's the answer right here. Knew where to go for the answer. And you know what? Sometimes in our life, we feel like, well, I don't know where to go. Hey, but I know where to go for the answer. And how much more beneficial is it when it's within our heart? It's a filter by which changes every decision I make. Have you ever done something against what you feel the Holy Spirit of God telling you inside your heart? How'd that feel every step of the way? Awful. Why? Because His Word is inside of us. As the Word of God is in our hearts, and number one, will keep us from sin, but number two, it'll help us keep His commandments. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 1 says, my son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. My children know what I expect of them. Why? Because I reiterate it over and over and over again. We know what God expects from us. Why? Because He reiterates it over and over and over again. He tells us exactly what to do and how to do it. John chapter 14, turn there if you would. The Bible says in John 14 and verse 15, if ye love me, do what? Keep my commandments. Thank you, Mrs. Richardson. If ye love me, keep my commandments. Anybody text here? Any of our young people text before? Ever use that? Way of communication. Emma, have you ever texted before? Okay. So in writing, sometimes in place of writing the word love, what are those little symbols? Emojis, is that correct? What would be a symbol for love? Heart. If ye love me, keep my commandments. Where should the word of God be kept? In my heart. You see the connection? In verse 21, it says, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father. And I will love him and will manifest myself to him. God says, I'm going to speak to you and reveal myself to you. And I'm going to lead you and guide you. All I need you to do is what I tell you. Because when the Word of God is in our hearts, it changes our actions. I've had the blessing and privilege of trying to counsel with people over the years. And people have said some things about things that they struggle with in their life. And my number one go-to counsel for a lot of it is, it's not that we don't know what's right. But my number one go-to counsel is, hey, let's find some verses that we can memorize concerning that sin and hide that away in our hearts so when that thing comes up, a verse comes to mind immediately. Because if we're going to keep the laws of God and if we love the Lord and if we want His law in our hearts, we're going to need some help from His scriptures. The connection to the heart and the Word. How do we do that? Well, we can read it. That's helpful. Gentlemen, ever build something and take the directions and kind of toss them off? I know how to do this. After hours of fighting with something, let's see what it said. Oh, that, I see. And then you have to take apart everything you just did and do it what we call the right way. You know what? Sometimes in our life we say, I don't need the instructions. I'm just going to do it my way. And as we do that, what happens? Well, we're probably going to have to go back and undo what we just did and do it the right way. How do we get the Word of God in our hearts? We read it. We write it. Say, write it. Repetition is a great helper to memorize. In school, we have kids write out the answers that they missed. Why? Because we want to reiterate or emphasize the right answers. When was the last time you took a chapter of the Bible and just wrote it out? Never. Well, maybe that'll help get the word in your heart. Read it, write it, memorize it. That's why we do our verses of the week. Why? Because we want to help in getting the word of God in our hearts. Sing it. Sing the word of God. Oh, there's tons of songs. We sing scripture songs here all the time. Listen to it. Listen to preaching. Listen to it read. I know some of you have a long ride into work and you have the Bible on audio and you listen to that. That's a blessing. Get the word of God in your hearts. Number two, we need the word of God in our heads. 2 Timothy chapter 1. Second Timothy 1 and verse 7 says, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me as prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. A sound mind. The word of God. Sound means strong. Out in the water, if they have a sound, it's a barrier. It's a wall. For my mind, not only do I need the word of God in my heart, but I need it in my mind. The Bible says this in Proverbs chapter 8 and verse 14. It says, "Counsel is mine and sound wisdom." I'm not sure if you've paid attention, but a lot of people are offering their opinions on every matter. And everyone's entitled to their own opinion, but your opinion's wrong when it goes against the word of God. See, that's offensive. "Great peace have they which love thy law." If you go against what God says, you're wrong. And there's a lot of counsel being given out there that is not His. But if we want sound wisdom, if we want truth, if we want to be able to think right, then what does God say? Because it really doesn't matter what I think about the matter. What does God think about the matter? Proverbs 8:14, "Counsel is mine and sound wisdom. I am understanding, I have strength." Align your thoughts and minds with the scriptures. This is the correct way to think. How can two views both be right? Well, they can't be. See, the world will tell you, I've heard people say this, even concerning the Lord. Well, we all believe the same thing, we just call it something different. That's not true. The Bible says that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. And if you're trusting in anything else for your salvation, you're trusting in wrong things. I don't think I'm better because I got that. Like Brother Charlie says, I'm just blessed. I am thankful for the Word of God and the truth of the Word of God and clear thinking concerning every matter. I don't want you to think like me, but we ought to think like God thinks. Say, that's impossible. Well, He told us what is right and what is wrong. Dealing with some people and you say, well, what you think is incorrect. Well, who are you to say? It's not me, it's what God says. You know, the Bible tells us to love one another, to be kind towards one another. That God created, well, man for his pleasure. And you start saying some of those things, and that goes against what people are striving for and going after, and they don't, it's not very well received sometimes. But when it's all said and done, do you understand that the truth of the Word of God is the only thing that will last? Align your thoughts and minds with the Scriptures. Many of our young people have an opportunity to go away to college. And you know what? They're going to be taught something. You go to a secular college, and you're going to be taught something that is contrary to the Word of God. Say, no, you will. If you take any sort of science classes, you will. Well, who's right? God is always right. You hear that? God's always right. And when the world aligns with God, which is very few and far between, but when the world does, the world can be right too. And when you and I align with the Word of God and say, hey, this is how God sees it, so this is how I'm going to see it, this is how I think, then you too can be right. God's way is always the best way. Number one, the Word of God in our hearts. Number two, the Word of God in our heads. Say, well, where else can we put it? Ephesians chapter 6. I have five words. So maybe it's like a little puzzle for you. You can start thinking about what other H words could the Word of God be. All right, so you can call your shot. 10 minutes, no problem. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 17 says, take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. If I were to grab a sword, I don't know what happened at our house, but one day swords showed up. Someone came over and brought my children wooden swords. Do you know about it? You have no idea, Chet? No, okay. And they've taken to arms against each other, and Sarah and I are a little worried for our own safety. If I'm to hold a sword, where is it? It's in my hand. And the Bible says that the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. The Word of God ought to be in our hearts, it ought to be in our heads, but ought to be in our hands. As a warrior knows how to handle his weapon, so we ought to know how to handle the Word. Can I tell you, I love when people get saved and they get their first Bible. And they open that thing up and it cracks. And it's gold trimmed, and you know, they turn and it, like, you know, the pages stay up still. It's so new. And after a period of time, that thing gets worn down, maybe even with some teardrops. A verse that helps you get through that day. As you beg God for direction for your life, and He uses His Word so clearly. You start to see a weapon that's been used. The sword of the Spirit. The Bible isn't just called a sword, though. It's also called a hammer. Say, how so? It can do some destruction. It can break some things up. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad that the hammer of the Word of God was applied to your life and just broke that thing up? And I am. Listen to some of these things. The Word of God not only is a hammer, but it's also referenced as sweet honey. It's called the milk, but it's also called the meat. It all depends on how you use it. It can be a sword, but it can also be a hammer. It can be honey, but it also can be milk. It can be meat, but it also can be a fire. But the Bible also calls it not only a fire in Jeremiah 23, but He calls it water in Ephesians chapter 5. What a resource. If I said, I have a tool for you that is a hammer and honey and milk and meat and fire and water. It's a mirror in James chapter 1. It's a seed. Sam and I were singing together this morning. The Word of God is like itty-bitty seeds scattered all around. Remember, Sam, when we sang? Some in the... It was a solo, he says. I was singing to him. But the Word of God is like those little seeds. Man, the Word of God gets planted in someone's life. Someone comes by and waters it. That thing takes root and it grows. The Bible tells us that it's a lamp and a light. All of these things are tangible objects. Do you know that? I can go to Walmart and buy all of these things, a hammer, a honey, milk, meat. You could try and hold fire. Water, a mirror, seeds, a lamp. Why? Because the Word of God ought to be handled. It ought to be used. It's not something that we just set aside. It's tangible. It just depends on how I need to use it that day. What's the tool for today? It is a hands-on experience. Story goes as Gaylord Kambarami. Say, who is that? He is the general secretary of the Bible Society in Zimbabwe. Tried to give a New Testament to a very belligerent man. The man insisted he would roll the pages and use them to smoke cigarettes. Mr. Kambarami said, I understand that, but at least promise to read the page of the New Testament before you smoke it. The man agreed, and two went their separate ways. 15 years later, the two men met at a convention in Zimbabwe. The scripture-smoking pagan had been saved and was now a full-time evangelist. He told the audience that day, I smoked Matthew, and I smoked Mark, and I smoked Luke. But when I got to John 3:16, I couldn't smoke anymore. My life had been changed from that moment. Aren't you glad God's book is more than just words on a page? It ought to be in our hands. We ought to use it. There's a lot of people hurting today. They're hopeless. You know what they need? They need someone to come up and share with them the Lord Jesus Christ. There's young people that are wandering that have no idea about life. Know what they need? They need someone to come direct them through the Word of God. As you sit here today, I promise you that the book that you hold in your hands is the answer to your question. It ought to be in our heart. It ought to be in our head. We ought to use it in our hands. It ought to be in our homes. Proverbs 22:6 says, train up a child in the way he should go. When he is old, he will not depart from it. In our homes, training for our children. Ephesians 6:1-2. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. Exodus 20:12. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Say, I'm having trouble with my children. Teach them to obey. Obey you, obey God. And as big as you make God, that is as big as God will be in their life. For a child, for as big as you make God, that is as big as God will be in their life. Say, they don't listen to me. Show them that it's what God says. But it's also training for the trained. In the home, the Bible says this in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 25, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. In 5:22, it says, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. In Ephesians 6:4, it says, and ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. It tells us exactly how we ought to act. It tells us exactly what we ought to do. Say, my home's a mess. You're not doing it right then. Because the Word of God says how to do it. Proverbs 3:5-6 says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. 1 John 2, verse 15 says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. It's not just a book to help you get into heaven. It's a book that should be applied in our homes every single day. It gives direction to the high school student. It gives direction to the college student. It gives direction to the mom, to the dad, to the little child, to everybody. It's the manual for the home. And our homes suffer because we put it aside and think, I know how to do this. I've got a better way. There's no better way than God's way. Lastly, not only in our hearts, in our head, in our hands, in our homes, but in our habits. In Psalm 101 and verse 2, it says, Psalm 101 and verse 2, it says, I will behave myself wisely in a perfect way. Oh, when wilt thou come unto me? I will walk within my house with a perfect heart. Here's a connection of it all. But God says, I will behave myself. No. In Psalm 101 and verse 2, it says, I will behave myself wisely in a perfect way. What is your habits concerning the Word of God? Well, my habit is when my life falls apart, I try and find a verse, or I look for something, or I do this, and then I read that. If this book is all that it says it is, ought not it have a greater role in our life? Shouldn't our habits somehow start with this every day? The Bible says, I will behave myself wisely in a perfect way. How is that possible? Through the Word of God. It is able to guide our steps. And our last verse, Psalm 119, verse 105, thy word is a lamp unto my feet, and a light unto my path. It's able to lead us and guide us. So the question is, are we going to allow the Bible to have an impact to direct us unto holiness? Are we going to allow it to come into our hearts? Say, I struggle with that. I know it's got to have a greater role, but I just didn't know where or what. I'm going to try some of these things this week, this month, this year. How about in your hearts? But how about in our minds? God, I think differently than what you say. Will you change my mind? How about in our hands? How about we start to handle the Word of God a little bit more? Use it how it ought to be used. Say, how is that? We read a bunch of things. It's the sword of the Spirit. The Bible says, and it's quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. It's able to get all the way to my heart. A hammer. Know it would be nice if the Word of God just hit Washington. Boom! Smash that thing up. Let's get back to the ways of God. And then apply the sweet balm of Gilead to heal that all. You got a new Christian and they don't know direction for their life? Let me give you a little milk. Got someone that's been saved for 30 years? Let me give you some meat. So, I don't know. Let's open up the mirror and see who we really are. Say, what am I supposed to do with that? It's seeds. Go plant it. And then water those seeds. Is the Word of God in your hands? Is the Word of God in your home? Do your habits surround it? I desire to be holy, but we cannot do that without the Scriptures. We cannot do that without application of the Scriptures personally to our lives. Say, it's the church, it's your responsibility to make application of the Word of God to you. Let's all stand. We'll be dismissed. Appreciate you being here today. All 25% of you. Thankful for that.
Well, I'm glad that we didn't just get 25% of you.
25% of me. Yeah, amen. We're going to dismiss the same way, but we're going to pray first. But this week, can you review this message in your heart and in your mind and say, God, where am I missing? What's not right? My experience has been this. We know where it's not right. We just don't want to take the efforts to fix it. Because that takes, ready? Work. Heavenly Father, we thank you for today. Thank you for your perfect word, how it applies perfectly in every area. Lord, thank you for the ability to place it into our hearts that it becomes us. God, I'm thankful that you can change our mind, to renew our mind. Lord, I'm thankful that we can have direction for our homes. Lord, help us to handle the Word of God, distribute the Word of God. God, may our life revolve around it. Lord, if there's someone here today that needs to make a bigger, deeper commitment to it, Lord, I pray that they would make that vow even now. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to have church today to sing to you. Lord, I pray that you are pleased and honored and glorified. Lord, bless our afternoon. And Lord, as we move on to the next thing, may we never move past you. That we would walk wisely concerning your word. Lord, we love you today. And I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You will be dismissed by row. And I hope you have a blessed day. Yes, sir, Mr. Haight.